Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy. And we are your hosts of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast,
where we give you an uncensored look at all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real-ish time.
We've been featured on the Tamron Hall Show and in the New York Times. The topics of our conversations range from joy, grief, radical acceptance, love, sex, and family.
Tune in weekly for new episodes.
Or binge our older ones.
There's a little something for everybody. We've connected with our audience for years because we're everyone's best friends in their heads.
That's a direct quote.
That's what they say. And we know that you'll enjoy the vibes too.
So tune in, y'all, and be part of the shenanigans. And with that, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace. Peace.
And welcome again to another episode of the Darren Green Show. I am your host, Darren Green. Happy Sunday or Monday, depending on if you're listening or watching the podcast episode. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm over here in my, you know, we're going to be real fashionistas today because it is May the 4th for the visual listeners. So that means we are geared up for the Met Gala. A little shameless plug. We will be going live on YouTube at Darren Green TV for the audio listeners, to basically just go through the Met Gala red carpet. I'm gonna watch it live from my home as we talk about, you know, fashion's biggest night or whatever. You know, it's gonna be, I did this a couple years ago. I did this for the 2023 Met Gala because we all thought Beyonce was gonna be there. Like, we thought Beyonce was gonna be there and she never showed up. But the fact that Beyonce is gonna be there, I wanna see what she has to wear. You know, I want to see what the other girls are wearing. I'm hearing that Kelly Rowland is going to be there for the first time, which I thought was crazy that she, of all people, this is the first time you going to Met Gala, you being invited to Met Gala. I don't know. I think they got something cooking up, child. I don't know. I saw that website change. Like, she deleted all her stuff. And I told y'all the after show, I told y'all Act 3 is coming. Act 3 is coming because she said that her publicist said all that shit talking about some, oh, it's all lies, it's all untrue and all this other stuff. But then she deleted all her stuff on the website. Make that make sense, honey. It didn't put the Destiny's Child stuff, like video footage and pictures and stuff. Now, we'll get into that when we get into that. I'm not sure if I want to see a Destiny's Child album, but definitely Act 3. Come on, Beyonce, let's get this thing going. I mean, they could feature in it, but girl, let's just let it be us. That's just us. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, Met Gala, definitely come around. We are going to start the live at 6:30 a.m. EST. We're probably going to stay on for a couple hours, you know, give or take. Hopefully my Wi-Fi, let me tell y'all something, pray for my Wi-Fi connectivity. Look, I know I got the new modem, but I didn't like how things was being ran a couple days just now. I'm just like, oh my goodness, like what is going on? We just got this modem, but it's working. It primarily it works. So, you know, it's girl, let me knock on wood, honey. Cause I needed to work, but yeah, that's my shameless plug. Just come by, check it out. You know, we're gonna have some good little time. We're gonna have a good time, and you know, we might have some guests on. You know, I invited some of my mutuals and stuff like that. So of course we'll get into that. I don't have much of a weekend report, guys. Look, let me tell you something. I went to the movies. That's all I did. I went to the movies. I seen The Devil Wears Prada 2. Very refreshing. This movie was very, very refreshing. And it's not like, you know, when you like an existing IP that comes back with a sequel years later and it doesn't even feel like the same movie that you watched before or the same piece of content that you watched before, like Euphoria. I'm sorry, Euphoria had to catch that stray because, honey, I don't know what's going on with that. It felt real. Anne Hathaway did her thing. Meryl Streep, she did her thing. They did their things. Even the girl that played Emily, I don't know her name. I thought it was going to go in a different direction because, like, when we saw the sneak previews and, you know, Miranda was acting like she didn't know Andy. And I'm like, I know they're not about to do the whole dementia, Alzheimer's storyline. Please don't have this girl dying. But I didn't mean to spoil that, but it really wasn't a spoil. But I'm not telling you the story, but it was really good. The storyline was good. It just worked. And I'm going to be watching Michael, but I haven't watched it yet because I'm taping early this morning. When I get done, I got to go at 11 and we'll see what that is about. You know, a lot of drama with that movie because, you know, we got to talk about Nia Long. We got to talk about Nia Long and how she's battling Lionsgate over a pay disparity with the Michael movie. Yeah, I guess we can get into the topics. We also got to talk about Dominique Morgan, honey. Apparently she's going to jail. Apparently she's going to jail. She was remanded without bail. Oh my goodness. Why, girl? We'll get into that. We also got to talk about how Love & Hip Hop is officially canceled after a 15-year run. This is really sad. I mean, to me, it was really sad. I mean, I grew up watching this show. We got to talk about the Atlanta restaurant owner of V12, the one that's, I think they said, is on top of a gas station in Atlanta. Yeah, he's getting some backlash because the way he talks to his workers, his women workers, and you know, belittling and all that other stuff. We'll get into that. We also have to talk about Spirit Airlines, girl. Not Spirit, not my girl Spirit, girl. Oh my goodness, girl, it's done. It's done, honey. It is done. We also got to talk about Nicki Minaj. I mean, this is like a rumor, but we're still gonna run this. We're gonna run the story, but it's not really verifiable. They're saying that she was banned from the Met Gala, and we can actually start there.
Now, this is the Darren Green Show.
Okay, we can actually start there. I'm gonna read this little excerpt that they said, honey. They said Nicki Minaj has been banned from attending the 2026 Met Gala or future ones to come over her recent disgusting moves, according to Cosmopolitan. In quotes, they say Nicki's invitation didn't slow down. It vanished. Hollywood stopped returning her calls. This isn't subtle anymore. She's been shut out. Okay, we do have a context or a community, not a community note, but a note from X on here. It says that Cosmopolitan's report cites an anonymous insider claiming an informal exclusion of Nicki Minaj from the 2026 Met Gala. Not a formal ban, no official confirmation exists from the Met or Vogue making that claim unverified. Now, why she show up? Watch, she shows up and like, girl, and well, what y'all said? What y'all said? Okay. Here is the thing. The whole thing, and they also saying she was like fishing for invite letters. That don't even sound like her. And you got to put your differences aside. People got to put their differences aside. I mean, even with me and how I feel about her now, like, you got to put all that aside and understand that, honey, Nicki ain't never cared about being invited to things. She ain't never cared about sitting with the cool kids. If she was invited, she went. If she didn't go, and it was not a fuss. Now, only thing she ever really fussed about was the Grammys, but I can understand that. I mean, like, she definitely is old and Grammy, but like I said, put differences aside, put ideology and what she's been doing lately aside, but those things are just true. But I don't believe that. I believe that she probably wasn't invited, but I don't think that she's banned. You know, I think that you got to look at it in a certain lens, right? You know, there's sponsors, there's different chairs, there's, you know, people like Anna Wintour that come up with this list, this invite list. And, you know, we can sit there and throw the idea that, okay, well, Beyonce and the Carters are co-chairing this event, they're probably like, no, we don't want her here. And to that regard, we'll start with that. If that is the case, then that is the case. Because let's be very clear. I mean, she has been on Twitter accusing them of being like witches and warlocks and saying that they sacrifice children. Like we're talking like real conspiracy theorist nut job type tweets. And they're part of co-chair. I mean, but she's the coach, like Beyonce's the co-chair, whatever the case is. I don't know how that works because, you know, we only talk about what they're wearing, honey. When once they get into that party, I don't know what's going on. Don't nobody really know. But of course, she's probably going to be like, I don't want this hoe here. Not when I'm here. And I don't want her trying to start with me. She might try to fight me. We don't know what her mental state is. I'll be honest. We don't know what her mental state is, child. We don't know where things can go. I believe Cardi is going to be there. I mean, there's no reason for her not to be there. She just finalized her tour. She's not really doing anything other than probably this event. It probably wouldn't be a good, you know, I mean, they talked about each other's kids and Cardi said, when I see you, it's on site. So not to say that people's security won't get them up out of there. We don't want this type of energy at this type of event. That's probably what they're looking at it as. Also the sponsors, also, you know, the companies that fund these events probably don't want somebody like her at these events because of their rhetoric. And you can sit there and say, oh, well, these sponsor owners and these people, they're upstairs. They are Trump supporters too. Yeah, but honey, they Trump supporters in private. But they got a business to run. They got a business to run. And if you have this person on and they got this type of reputation, it's going to be hurtful for my company because I'm putting money into this. You get what I'm saying? So you got to look at it into that lens. I don't think that she's banned. I think that she has an opportunity to come back on again. Maybe not right now. Let's just wait till the heat kind of dies down with her. And, you know, everybody forgets. And then she'll be back in the good graces with the general public and then she can come back. But you're not coming back now, girl. It's too many variables. It's too many variables. We got the sponsors on one hand. Cardi B is definitely going to show up. And if she shows up, you know how she acts. And I think that is bad. I think that that's kind of bad because I feel like you should choose the person that, because I don't think Nicki would get volatile if she saw Cardi. Cardi would. I mean, I think that the person that gets volatile shouldn't be invited, but the person that gets volatile is in the good graces with the general public and has a lot of eyes on her. She had multiple sold out shows. Like, she's up. You get what I'm saying? And they probably want her more than, I mean, like, if we just invite both of these girls, they just gonna freaking fight. And then the whole thing is not even gonna be about the event anymore. So, and then also the Beyonce Carter situation. three different variables, girl. Three. It's not working. It's not gelling. I would love to see her there. I mean, she definitely shows up and shows out. Even when I think this was her, if I'm not mistaken, this was her last event at the Met Gala. I think this was last year, right? Looked very good. She does a good job when she does a good job. But we're probably not going to see her. And I don't know, maybe Turning Point USA will have like a conservatives gala. I don't, girl, let me stop. Look, I wanted to be shady, okay? I know y'all gonna drag me in the comments anyway, so might as well get my little jokes off. But anyway, yeah, just disappointing. But we can move on. I do want to talk about Dominique Morgan. Yeah, honey. Girl. Child, ma'am, missus. Okay, so we have a, I'm going to read this excerpt from TTB. Shout out to them. I love them. Okay, they be getting the news, honey. They be getting the gay news, honey. Now, anyway, trans influencer and activist Dominique Morgan was remanded without bail. She is set to appear in front of a judge for sentencing on May 28th, 2026. A remand usually occurs only from a higher court to a lower court, and cases are remanded only if there is an error or an issue the lower court needs to fix. This often indicates a positive development for defendants when post-conviction appeal is submitted. Backstory, according to knlradio.com, Dominique Morgan entered a guilty plea in February to one count of second degree grand larceny and 23 counts of falsifying business records related to the theft of the approximate $99,000 from the Orca Project, a nonprofit that provides support services to Black trans individuals nationwide. Prosecutors say that the funds were originally intended to help bail for individuals in need. However, authorities allege that the money was instead used for personal expenses, including clothing, meals, car payments, a Mercedes-Benz, and a $19,000 closet renovation. I heard about that. Tasha K. A lot of the stuff that Tasha was saying you know, when Tasha's right, she's right. But when she dead wrong, she dead wrong. But we'll do with that information what you will. According to the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office, Morgan transferred the funds to her personal accounts in July 2022, but did not implement the purpose bail assistance program. When asked to provide documentation, she submitted what investigators later determined were fraudulent bail receipts for individuals who had not been arrested or released in the jurisdiction listed. Okay. Morgan previously served as an executive director of Orca Project for several months in 2022, earning a salary reportedly over $200,000. She also led the AMA based nonprofit Black and Pink from 2017 to 2022 and had been recognized locally for her work in the community. I believe she stepped down for Orca at this point. I don't know if she started this foundation or started this nonprofit, or she just became like a leader of it, or what they call executive director. Excuse me, let me get the correct title. I'm not sure if she started it or she just was appointed this role. Well, look here, you know what I'm about to say. Here's my thing. Dominique allegedly took a plea deal that says everything that we needed to know. That tells us everything that we needed to know. Girl, what happened? What happened? Honey, I mean, I'm a stick beside you, girl. But we can't be doing that. What? Like, given your history, I believe you had a history of fraud before, though. Like, you went to jail before not recently, but you know, we got your old mugshots and stuff like that. It was because of fraud. And you do it again? Allegedly? I mean, at this point, I don't know. As Black people, and at the same time as queer people, to have a foundation that attempted to help people, you get what I'm saying? Help people with their, from my understanding, it gave bail money or money to people to get out of jail. You know, people that are Black and brown, trans community. Like, for you to sit there and have this foundation and then use that for your own bank accounts and stuff like that. And the fact that you didn't think that you was going to get caught. That's the part that really gets me when people do stuff like that. It's the fact that you think that you wasn't going to get caught. And people are going to say, like, oh, well, you know, we're not really going to hold her accountable because, you know, she's Dominique Morgan and, you know, because she's trans and we can't. Look, there are bad cis people. There are bad trans people in the world. I don't want this situation to have a long lasting look on that marginalized community, because there are trans people that really do want to help people, that really do, that are in there doing foundations and trying to work in nonprofits to help other people. But we also have people that's going to abuse the situation, you know, and I think she had us all fooled. Well, she didn't have us all fooled, because there was people calling bullshit. But the way that Dominique was so like nonchalant about it, like she was still doing content and talking, because really she don't talk about celebrity gossip, but like she kind of do, you know, her regularly scheduled content, like it was still going on, like nothing was going on. I thought the way she was so confident about this situation, I thought that, okay, so she got a case and she got some good lawyers and they got things going on, things are moving and shaking, and there she's going to fight back. You took a plea deal. You pleaded guilty. Because people do that when they know they're going to lose. And if they lose, I mean, I'm not saying she's going to get life, but I mean, she's going to be like 80 something when she get out. The sentencing is literally on the 28th of this month. All that for a freaking Mercedes-Benz in a closet renovation. And my whole thing is, let's be very clear. People misuse funds all the time, especially when it's a person of interest, a celebrity, an influencer, what's this, that, and the third. people misuse funds all the time, but you make that shit look real. You get what I'm saying? And I'm not suggesting this because, you know, foundations and different non-for-profit groups should definitely do their due diligence and not misuse funds at all. Let me just make that disclaimer right there. But if you go and do it, you got to like, okay, give people a little bit of this, a little bit of that, like get some real, you know, cause what you did was you falsified records. You made aliases and different people that you helped, but those people don't exist. At least help some people get out of jail, give some people bail so it could be put on the records. I don't mean to be rude, but I thought Dominique was smarter than that. I did. You know, I watch a lot of her videos. She has real good insight on a lot of things, and I still think she has good insight. But honey, girl. Now, my whole thing is, because we did talk about this as it relates to T.S. Madison, I don't think that T.S. Madison is a part of all that. I think that they are in communities with each other because of, you know, they're both trans influencers and stuff like that. I think that T.S. Madison's starter house is legit. Now, girl, let me knock on wood on that, because at this point, let me just knock on wood on that. I think that the starter house is legit. And I think at this point, T.S. Madison, for business purposes, I know that might be your East Boone Coon, that might be your girl, that your good Judy, but you might need to back it on up. You might need to disassociate yourself, because even if you got something going on with your situation, you don't want them looking at you now. Like, girl, I had some notes and I literally just went off the rails with this topic because it's just a lot to say and you're not even trying to fight back. That's how you know she really in there with them. She's girl. And I hate to see that, because like, I hate to see this type of stuff, because it's almost how I felt about with the whole Black Lives Matter movement. And then, you know, how Candace Owens was like really gung ho on like this movement being toxic and amusing. But looking back, Candace was right. They were misusing funds for this movement. Now, the movement itself is not tainted. It's still, you know, what it is. But the organization, y'all was getting freaking houses and cars and all types of assets and everything. It's so unfortunate when you see leaders for marginalized groups try to do something for the people and really they do nothing. And they use the funds for themselves. This is going to set a precedent. She's going to be, I'm pretty sure that with Dominique, she's going to be used as an example. And probably it'll be a lot harder for people in the future to do foundations and different nonprofit organizations to start them up that in regards to like the trans community. Because, they be stealing money. They be stealing. You get what I'm saying? And I hate to look at things like that just because one person is a bad apple doesn't mean that the whole community, you get what I'm saying? I believe that, but hell, half the world don't. You get what I'm saying? There's an expectation. There's an expectation. And I don't have much else to say about this other than the fact that it's very disappointing. Tasha K is going to get a kick out of this. She's going to get a hefty kick out of this. I mean, I'm surprised she did not go live. I mean, well, this really kind of happened on the weekend, so we'll probably see her during this week, and she's gonna gloat and she's gonna say all the things, and she's, you know, what can I say? And it is nothing that you can say, because it's happening. My goodness. Anyway, y'all would tell me what y'all think in the comments. We can move on. I'm sorry if y'all keep on hearing that smoke detector, child. I'm going to change the battery. I'm going to change it. But we got the type I have, you have to order it online, which I think is so stupid. But anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about Nia Long, girl. My girl, my cousin. Girl, that's my cousin. I'm explaining. But I'm going to read this excerpt. But Nia Long is reportedly in a legal dispute with Lionsgate over her pay for the Michael Jackson biopic. According to Puck News, the actress who plays Michael Jackson's mother, Catherine Jackson, is quietly fighting Lionsgate over an alleged pay discrepancy tied to her contract. Now, sources claim that Long's agreement included a Fair Nations clause ensuring that she would be paid on equal terms as co-stars. However, she later learned that she had been unpaid, with Carmen Domingo, who plays Joe Jackson, and Miles Teller reportedly earning more. While Long appears in the film less than Domingo, the report suggests that her reduced screen time was impacted by the last script revisions. The dispute has been addressed by Long, but appeared to reference the situation during an appearance at the Today Show when she asked for if you would come back for a potential sequel. She said, for the right price. Despite the report, tension with Michael has performed at the box office over $131 million domestically and $277 million worldwide in its first week. You know, it did well. It did well. And sometimes actors do get a kickback when, you know, opening night happens, or not opening night, but opening weekend. And, you know, look, I said that was my cousin because child, as you know, she's from Trenton, New Jersey, and that is my hometown. And my dad used to always say that we are related to the Long family. So, you know, that's a bit of trivia, honey. I might be related to Nia Long. Just kidding. Anyway, but no, I mean, he really used to say that shit, but we ain't ever believed him. But here's the thing. Don't Taraji P. Henson yourself. Don't Taraji P. Henson yourself. You didn't have that many scenes. That's very telling. Whether they cut out the scenes or not, you weren't there enough. Now, if there was a breach in contract, okay. But if you didn't have that many scenes, you know, and let's really talk. Big Bang Take Little Bang. You are definitely a legacy Black actress of the 90s and early 2000s. And I don't mean to say that in a disrespectful way, because she is Black royalty in the acting. You get what I'm saying? But it's a matter of influence at this point, dictating whether you are going to get paid that much or not. The industry kind of shifted with the whole resume thing. Like, oh, I did this, 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 and this. More or less of like, can you get butts in seats if we put you on this movie? And let's be very clear. Carmen Domingo played Joe Jackson, a very influential, very toxic character that really was the one that put the battery in Michael's back to be the greatest performer and artist that we've ever heard of. You get what I'm saying? He's going to get more scenes. It's going to be more moments with him. And, you know, I'm not to say that Catherine Jackson wasn't as integral to the family. I mean, she gave birth to the people. She brought life to these people that became stars. But if you look at those variables, you're not there that much. You know, I'm not saying that she's not as relevant as a Carmen Domingo or her co-stars, but like, she really, you haven't been in a lot of stuff, you know. And I'm not saying that you just should be lucky just to be here. I will never say that. And if she does win, if she wins and she gets paid, I ain't got nothing against it. I'm like, go ahead, girl, get your money. But I'm just saying, I hope they don't Taraji P. Henson you, because child, you go after that Lionsgate, it's going to cost you, child. It's going to cost you. Monique should have told you, child. You all saw what happened with Monique. Okay. But I don't know, child. I mean, I don't got much else to say about that, but you know, shout out to my cousin. Anyway, I do want to talk about Love and Hip Hop for a second, because girl, we are mourning the loss. We're mourning the loss of a couple of things. We'll talk about Spirit in a minute. But we are mourning the loss of Love and Hip Hop, child, after a 15-year run. Okay, let me just read the excerpt. It says, it's officially an end of an era. VH1 announced that Love and Hip Hop, the final chapter, a 6-part limited series set to premiere fall 2026, will close the book on one of reality TV's most culture-shifting franchises. Since 2011 debut The show has helped launch careers, spark viral moments, and dominated conversations across New York, Atlanta, Hollywood, and Miami. Okay. The upcoming series will feature new interviews from cast members, producers, and cultural critics as they reflect on the biggest moments, controversies, and the legacy that changed reality television forever. Fans can expect a deep dive into the rise and its breakout stars, the empire they built, and the impact of the franchise will leave. I'm actually sad. I'm sad. This is not fun. I grew up with this show. You know, I was in high school when I really was watching it. But these are my girls. I mean, Cardi B came from Love & Hip Hop. K Michelle came from Love & Hip Hop. You get what I'm saying? There was a lot of people were able to revive their careers. A lot of rappers back in the early 2000s that really didn't, they was like one to two hit wonders. You get what I'm saying? They came back like Lil Scrappy and Young Jock and stuff like that. They came on this show and they were able to do what they had to do. And I just know some of them people that was on that show that was relying on that check. Girl, it's going to be a hard time for them to pivot, child, if they can pivot. The iconic moments, you know, that we got with Jocelyn, with Stevie and Mimi and all that. And people, you know, when they did Hollywood, that was fun. That was interesting. We got some people from, I feel like they got a lot of famous people that came from Love & Hip Hop, Hollywood. That was fun. Miami was cool. I watched it for a couple seasons, but I really didn't really get into it. New York, I always watched New York. I didn't start watching New York. I started watching Atlanta. And then like every time like a new city would, cause like they wouldn't film, cause they were a small franchise, right? So it was like, okay, after one closes, we got to open up another one. So anytime when Atlanta was done, I did New York. I started watching New York because K Michelle at one point moved to New York and she was on that show for a little bit. And that's where I saw Cardi B and them. And it was just like, oh my goodness, it's my memory child, my childhood. It was some really good content. And it's unfortunate to see it go. It was good TV, but I know why it's kind of getting canceled, because I think that they stopped prioritizing good TV. I think that, you know, that last little situation with the Erica Mena situation, they literally fired her off the show and then they had nothing to tape. So they had to come back on and do panel discussions. And you know, I feel like y'all should have had that girl on the rest of the season, have her on the reunion so y'all can then fire her. I mean, that would have been a good moment and y'all would have been able to keep the damn footage that y'all had. I feel like reality TV is now in a place where it's like scared to go too far. And I don't mean scared to go too far, like by letting somebody get essayed while taping and then having the whole world call her a hoe, Tyra Banks. I'm not talking about going too far in that regard. I mean, prolonging the situations between people and arguments and stirring up conversation from that. And not just firing somebody just because, okay, we saw something, we need to get rid of them and this is not good, because what happened, it tanked your damn season. And y'all had too many seasons that got tanked and y'all got the boot, child. And I think that this is not going to be the only show that gets canceled. There's going to be other shows. Reality TV is kind of dying. When you think about like the Real Housewives franchise, you got some Bravo shows that no one really cares about. Housewives, they're in the background noise while Housewives is still taking over. They're doing All Star now. They're doing Girls Trip. They're doing all this extra shit that nobody cares about. Child, no one cares about the Kardashians anymore. Zeus Network is running amok. Like, reality TV is literally dying. Okay, y'all hear what I'm saying? It is literally dying. There is dying and fighting for relevance. This is only the beginning. We're going to see a lot more shows that we hold near and dear to our hearts get canceled. It started with these talk show hosts, these late night talk show hosts. It's going to be daytime eventually. And then a lot of TV is really dying. Nobody watches TV. It's getting to a point, child. People are not even on YouTube like that no more. You get what I'm saying? It's all popcorn, you know, fast content, short form content. TikTok is still popular for the moment. Because we don't know what's going to happen with TikTok. We really don't know. But people are damn sure not watching TV like that. they're going on streaming. That's why a lot of these podcasts that are going to like Netflix and stuff, and they got a good deal or whatever. I'm like, y'all go ahead, go Netflix if y'all want to, child, but I'm gonna stay over here on YouTube, child, and do what I need to do. But you know, it's very sad to watch. It's like we're watching media die. I think I care about this a lot because I love pop culture and I love this stuff growing up. I saw the decline. I mean, I know I haven't been contributing. I haven't been watching Love and Hip Hop for years because I feel like the storylines are just so, they always were kind of fake and doctored, but now it's really like people are arguing. They ain't got no business arguing about. We don't want to see Rashida continue to get cheated on year after year. And she just, them bags get bigger, honey. Them bags get bigger. Rashida got bags. Like, you know what I'm saying? We'll never get moments like that again. We will never get moments like that again. And eventually it's going to filter into the other reality TV shows. Like I said, with Bravo, Andy said that if they were going to start doing franchises like Housewives All-Star, Girls Trip, that's when Housewives is going to start. That's when you would see Housewives starting to lose steam. That's the only reason why they would bring those type of shows in, is because it's not, the franchises are not working. You know, we're seeing city after city do a couple seasons and then they pause the show. And you know what they mean when they pause the show, honey? We'll never see them again. That's like a nice way of saying you're canceled. Because I remember Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, which I love that show. I loved it. I love watching bougie black people. I love that. And they didn't come back. I mean, they basically got canceled after two seasons. And I thought the show was good. I thought it was good. People didn't like it, whatever. But it's so unfortunate. You know, we're mourning the loss. We're also mourning the loss of Spirit Airlines, child. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So Spirit Airlines has shut down after 34 years, announcing, okay, an immediate wind down of operations. The ultra low cost carrying canceled all flights and is no longer offering customer service. About 17,000 employees are affected. Officials say that customers who book directly with the airline can request refunds through a reserve fund, while those who use third-party services must go through those providers. Ooh, girl, good luck. U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy warned travelers not to go to the airport, saying if you have a flight scheduled with Spirit, don't show up at the airport. There is no one here to assist you. Okay. Other airlines, including United, Delta, BlueJet, and Southwest, are offering limited discounted flights for affected passengers and may assist with the displaced employees. The Trump administration had considered a government bailout for the business to keep it going under, but a deal was not reached. Yeah, we mourning the lost, child. I find it so funny that the affordable airline is the one that's getting shut down. Now we got to go to all these other places, all these other companies. Well, South and West is still cheap, but I don't like Southwest. Something about them, you get them cheap ass plane rides, you can be flying all around the world. Okay, I remember I had family that used South and West, and they sat there. They were going to Virginia, had them flying to Texas, to Florida, to freaking Georgia. And then their last stop was where they were going. I'm like, hell no, ain't no way. I would never. I don't even do planes. But if I had to do it, I'm not doing no transfer. That I got to get off the plane. Then I got to get like my girl. I'll be, girl, a nervous breakdown every time. But for Spirit Airline to close, damn. Where y'all going to get y'all cheap flights? And it's so crazy that a company like a whole airline company is going out of business. You know the economy is bad when that happens. I don't think I ever thought I'd see today. But yeah, that's what's happening. Anyway, we do have to talk about Vinny's Cabaret. Well, look here is the thing, right? An Atlanta V12 owner, Vinny Watson, is causing a stir with how he communicates with his gorgeous staff, with some saying that he is too harsh and unprofessional and others saying it is what's needed and what's missing in hospitality. I'm going to see if we can play some videos of like what's going on.
Hey, Sierra, do me a favor. Yes. Can you go run food, please? Yes. Thank you. I could easily put a clause in there that says you're not allowed to do business with my customers for 5 years or however long I want to do it. I could be that person that you all want to make me out to be. I really could. But I'm not. Turn around for me. You look great. Your shirt looks a little wrinkled. Tomorrow, that shirt won't make it, okay? Your shirt needs to be starched. It needs to look very good. But everything else looks great. Glam, everything on point. Clap it up for Jermani, please. Wait. Where's your pin? Where's your stuff? Tie pin. Go get a pin, please. You had this conversation before.
Okay, so we're going to stop here. So yeah, people felt a way about it. I really debated talking about this because this ain't really celebrity gossip. I mean, this is a person that, you know, was a spicy content creator and now he has a lounge. And they saying, child, it's on the top of a gas station, child. No, look, I'm not trying to. Look, I love when my people gets businesses, gets things done. And but there was a lot of talk on X, so I felt like I had to bring it here. I'm not going to attempt to drag this person when, you know, the women that work there clearly want to be there. Apparently they say they get like thousands of dollars every like 3 hours or some shit like that. Like they're making money because there's a lot of celebrities that go to this lounge and I'm pretty sure they pay out some real hefty tips. You get what I'm saying? So they're getting paid. I think the part that really kind of was like, I will put it into a contract that you cannot work at this place. Like he will blackball you if, you know, you don't make it right with me or you don't. That's the part that I'm like, I hate when jobs do that, when they sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to blackball you or I'm going to blacklist you or I'm going to let people know that da 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 da, this and third. That's, I don't like that. As for him, a lot of people were saying that this shouldn't have been recorded. Look, I think that there's some things to be said here. I mean, I would like to see him talk to his male employees like that, the same way he's talking to the women employees. And I'd like to see him, you know, get at the security guards like that, like he's getting at the girls, which I don't think that's going to happen. But I also think that's a skit. It gives skit vibes. It gives very much like outrage marketing is the best way to get some eyes, to get some butts in seats, you know, to get people to come up to your club. Because at the end of the day, the reactions were pretty much mixed. There were half people saying that, you know, he's being unprofessional, yada, yada, yada. And other half is saying, well, he's a professional. He's a perfectionist. This is his business. This is his brand. I'm going to support. And then, you know, that can cause people to come to your lounge and you make, I mean, this is a favorable moment. Now he has been going back and forth with people on Twitter, anytime somebody that he finds in undesirable, he'll post their picture and say, well, this is you. And so, you know, he's been going back and forth with people because I guess it's getting to him, but like you're being talked about. This is good. This is like, you may not be looked at, you may be looked at as Jocelyn or some shit like that, or Vinny's Cabaret, but that's like good because it's going to cause people to show up. I mean, yeah, they're talking about now you got to watch the people that talk about your food because they saying he made gas station food. That's what the people saying. Now, if he's making gas station food, he need to be talking like he talking to these girls, to the chefs. He need to be talking to the chefs like this, if that's the case. I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of like it was kind of icky to watch. I know I made a comment like I said because I was on Twitter or whatever. I'm back on Twitter, child, or X. I find it very strange to watch like gay men act like a pimp or objectifying women or being like misogynistic. Like I just find it very strange. It feels very strange. It doesn't feel good. It feels kind of weird watching that very, but then also when you think about it, this is a person that is a content creator. If you know what I mean, I got to keep it cute and PG on YouTube. He was a content creator and I'm pretty sure for the years that he was on there, he was objectified and he was, you know, he was you know how people treat people that work like that. And I have nothing against people that did that. I think the history is very monumental. He was able to pivot. He was able to do other things, and he ain't got to show his ass no more. He shows it when he wants to. You get what I'm saying? But like, to see you, you know, you have those. What's the word? I'm trying to think of the word, child. You had that comeuppance. You get what I'm saying? We saw where you were, and we see where you are now. And it's like, now you shouldn't know, because I feel like it was done to you maybe when you were at the bottom or whatever. So now you're doing it to people that you feel, you know, deem inferior. It's kind of weird. And that's why I always say I would never work for a small business. I will never, ever work for a small business again, because that's how they treat you. When I tell you, let me tell you something. My previous job, I worked at a goddamn vet. I'm not going to name drop them because I ain't trying to get sued or, you know, what is that, this, that, and the third. But I worked for a goddamn vet. It was a small business. And let me tell you something about these small business owners. They are the masters of their own universe. When you are in their establishment, you are in their universe. They can talk to you however they want to talk to you. They can tell you to do whatever they, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. Like, everybody wears many hats. Okay. And if you don't participate, you get penalized for it. You get what I'm saying? Like, I will never work for a small business again. So I think when other people saw this, it could have been triggering, because they know of working at a place like this before. I have friends that worked at restaurants, and I heard the small business restaurants, it's really unethical. I mean, and this is in Atlanta. We were just talking about this with the Atlanta restaurants being really, ugh, you get what I'm saying? And you're doing all that and the food is subpar. You're doing all that and the food is okay. You know, I would never work for a small business. I've been there, done that. I'm only doing corporate, big business, or preferably the state, because that's where I'm at now. I'm with the state, honey. I need the boss to have a boss. I need the boss's boss to have a boss. And I need that boss to have that boss. Okay, and I can go to the governor if I'm really feeling jiggy with it. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Like, there's always somebody that you can go to. You have nothing when you work with these small businesses. They have HR. The HR is not for you. It's for the company. And yes, HR universally is for the company, but you do get a little bit more. Like, I've seen people, when I worked at Wells Fargo, I've seen people get like checks from that company because somebody did something out the way and they got paid for it. Okay, I knew a girl right now. I didn't know her, but I heard her story, child. They was coming. There was this higher up that said something real out the way, and she got like a settlement check. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting that here. You're not getting that here. You'll get fired and blackballed. For Vinny, I mean, like I said, it gives very much skit to me. I don't know if this is real. This seems like, even the girls in the video, they're kind of like smirking and stuff like that. Like, this is definite. I don't know. That's why I said I'm not taking this serious, because we all know outrage marketing is the best marketing. We know that. I do that here all the time. Like, I talk about your favorite celebs, and I bank on you guys commenting and dragging me. So that's all what that is. I mean, I ain't got nothing else to say about this, child. I think we're done too. Oh, also, I did want to bring this up though, since my internet is really working. We do have a couple of closing topics. Why Barbie Ferreira from Euphoria, you know, the one that got fired, she over here saying that she was on the Thick video with Beyonce. Girl, listen to this.
I literally thought that there are times when I've thought that, like, oh, this is never gonna come out. Totally. I like did a Beyonce music video 3.5 years ago as well, and it'll never come out. I finally have accepted it.
Wait, that's it's been, what is that?
It was during Renaissance. It was like the Thick music video. And it was so cool. And I have accepted. No one will ever see it. Totally. But I do tell people I've been in Beyonce music video.
Of course,
video.
You have to.
And they thought I was lying for a bit. And I might still be.
Did you meet Beyonce?
No. I met her, though. She invited me to her birthday party after the music video. And I met her. And
that's,
I was.
That's
you can
iconic.
Ask Nadia Lee Cohen. Okay?
She directed?
She directed it, yeah. We can ask it.
No, that video, Nadia Lee Cohen directing, you in it? You starring in it? Are you starring?
In my head, I'm starring. It was a bunch of really cool girls. It was like Shy Girl, Carmen Electra, Megan Thee Stallion, Precious was in it. Like, it was just all cool. It was like thick bitches, you know? Thick baddies.
She has to put that out.
Yeah, I know.
But
one
I guess
day.
It's over the
It's been
the
like
Renaissance
almost
era
4 years. I swear to God, I have been holding on hope until this very moment.
I don't know if she's being truthful. I think she's lying. I don't know. Why would she be in the thick? Well, yeah, thick. That was a... I imagine she probably was a little thick back then. She lost a lot. She did lose a lot of weight. But if that is true, Beyonce, I'm going to fight. Because you need to drop... I don't know why... Why would she do all these videos and not release them? I'm telling you right now. I know that's like them videos, them flash drives, them computers that the videos is on, probably, girl, them things is locked away in a vault. Okay. And honestly, Beyonce, you need to open that goddamn vault. I want to see the visuals. Okay. We're not. This shit is, it's like it's so rude that she does that, like that she'll make content and then she'll never drop it anyway. This last topic I wanted to get into, child. This Philly student claims that a school board has threatened to expel him for posting videos of his classmates struggling to pronounce words like silhouette and extraordinary. I said extraordinary. Ooh, child. Ooh, now they got me. Extraordinary. Child, watch this.
Yeah, end this girl for me.
She wore a suit, clothes that were. Who's this for? Extraordinary, but somewhat. Gertrude?
Now explain what that means.
I don't know.
She wore a sahalot of clothes that were extraordinary, whatever, bro. But somewhat gooch.
What does that mean?
She wore a lot. Wait, she wore, bro, I don't know, bro. Can you take the card back, please?
She wore a, oh baby, she wore a silhouette of clothes that were, bitch, I don't know that word. I don't even know how to read. I don't know why I did.
She wore a silhouette of clothes that were extraordinary but somewhat gosh. All right, now what does that mean?
I have no idea. Like, it's cool. It's nice or something. Like, she were a... I don't know what this shit said. I don't know what this shit saying. I don't know what this shit saying. I can't read it.
Yeah, I want to... It's too painful. It's too painful to watch. But yeah, he goes on to do like other students and they really mess up. They butcher the words. These are high school students. These are high school students. Now, they are threatening to expel him and he potentially cannot walk or go to graduation. Or no, he can't go to prom. Well, they're trying to stop him from going to prom and also to walk. You know, I hate when schools do that. You know, they try to threaten that on you like, oh, yeah, you can't walk because you did it or whatever, this and third. High school was so stressful. But I don't think that they are doing that because they think that he's bullying, because clearly that's not the case here. They are doing that because that makes the school look so bad. Whatever school that is, that school, like the fact that these handful of students cannot read a simple sentence. You've had 12 years of your life to do that. You had 12 years of your life to learn how to read, and that's it. We are cooked. These are the people that's going to eventually run the country. Hopefully I'll be dead and going by then, child, because let me knock on wood, child, because that's crazy. But you know what, this is this AI chat GPT dystopian world that we live in, where people don't know how to read. We're going to be relying on technology to do everything. Girl, I think that they're trying to expel him because he's like the person that did this video. He definitely is showing the world that a lot of these schools do not give a crap about these students. They are not trying to, it's not for the betterment. It's making the schools look bad. Cause how the hell these people that's about to graduate, these are high school students, they about to go to college allegedly. Cause honey, they ain't gonna last in college if you can't read and do simple, you know, reading and writing. you're going to be out the first semester or going into the real world, reading contracts, reading different terms and conditions of jobs and stuff like that. And I mean, to have a simple job, you have to have some basic communication skills and be able to read things and be able to write and do basic math functions. And I'm not saying I'm the sharpest tool in the shed, child. I'm not. When we're in the toolbox, wherever you want to call that thing. But I feel like I was a part of the generation that we worked. Like we was reading. I went to a college preparatory school. We read like at least 20 books the entire year. 20. And they were not like short story. No, we read Shakespeare. We didn't have the Cliff Notes. Like we read it in the Shakespearean language that was thus now all that book, girl. I wrote it for our final project when we were seniors. We had to write a 15-page paper. 15 pages. Okay. On like a book report. It was a book report. And that's why I read Brave New World. That was a really good book, and I'm so they made it into a show. But anyway, yeah, these kids are cooked, honey. They are cooked. They are cooked, honey. Anyway, I'm done. I'm done with this episode, child. We're done. I have nothing else to talk about. But I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Like I said, I will later be on live to talk about the Met Gala. It's going to be real, real big fun. We're going to have some people come on. Everybody get y'all a little libations. I might get some libations too. Because you know me. But I'll talk to you guys later and hope you enjoyed the show. All right. Be sure to like the video, comment, all that other stuff, child. We need it. We need it. All right.